It's 6:45. Good morning, I'm Anthony Renault with KRWG News. Mexico's elections are scheduled to be held Sunday, but by one measure at least, political violence has already exceeded what was seen 3 years ago. From the Fronteras desk in Hermosillo, KJZZ's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
So far, there have been 782 attacks against politicians and candidates, according to the most recent report from the consultancy Etelect. That's more than the 774 the group registered during the entire presidential cycle in 2018. Nearly 90 have been killed so far, of whom 35 were candidates for office. That includes Abel Murrieta, who was running for mayor of Cajeme in Sonora until being gunned down in broad daylight in mid-May. Other states have been hit much harder, like Veracruz, where 8 people have been killed.
Nada de violencia.
With the June 6 elections fast approaching, Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador called for a peaceful day of voting during his Monday press conference. I'm Murphy Woodhouse in Hermosillo.
And in more news, the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule this month in a case that could have a major impact in New Mexico and across the region. The court is being asked to decide if evidence involving non-native suspects collected by tribal police should be valid. The Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
If you drive all 300 miles of U.S. Highway 550, you'll pass in and out of tribal land more than a dozen times, including this stretch in northern New Mexico.
You're on Pueblo of Zia, U.S. 550, mile marker 18.
That's Jerome Lucero, governor of the Zia Pueblo and also one of its police officers. He says this highway gives his department a lot of trouble because tribal officers don't always have jurisdiction over travelers here.
Yes, I have to take it into consideration if they're native or non-native.
This is a problem for tribal law enforcement across the U.S. who don't have the same policing authority as non-tribal cops. Because of a 1978 Supreme Court decision, their authority to detain and investigate non-natives for committing crimes on reservations is extremely limited. To explain, Lucero tells me about a recent traffic stop when a driver was going 30 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. When he approached, the driver's pupils looked like tiny dots, and he was acting strangely.
I could see visually that he had heroin in the middle console on top with a bunch of syringes in his door and stuff.
Normally, this would add up to probable cause to arrest him for driving while intoxicated. But because the driver was non-native and Lucero was a tribal officer, he didn't have the authority even to detain him. Lucero had to call for backup from non-tribal law enforcement.
County didn't even want to come up. They just flat out said that they were busy.
Lucero couldn't arrest the driver himself, so after 4 hours of waiting, he was out of options. Lucero impounded the man's car and dropped him in the off-reservation town of Bernalillo.
He was a free man.
Situations like this aren't unique in Indian country. This year, a similar case came before the United States Supreme Court, this time from the Crow Reservation in southern Montana. Joel Williams is with the Native American Rights Fund. He says this case started with a Crow tribal police officer who approached a pickup truck that was parked on the shoulder of a remote stretch of highway. It was 1 o'clock in the morning.
The police officer noticed that there was a child in the back seat, firearms in the front seat.
He says that the driver, named Joshua Cooley, seemed to be intoxicated. So the Crow officer detained him, and while he was waiting for a county officer to come make the arrest,
he found what appeared to be methamphetamine and a pipe in the vehicle.
Cooley was indicted on federal drug and weapons charges, but because he was not a tribal citizen, a district court judge threw out the evidence collected by the tribal officer. The officer lacked jurisdiction, the court ruled. The case went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which agreed. Williams says the ruling makes things worse for tribal police officers.
Now, unless they're actually witnessing a crime occurring, essentially, then they're not going to have that authority.
Williams says it widens an existing law enforcement loophole for crimes from burglary to domestic violence.
Gosh, that really poses a very serious public safety issue.
Before the Supreme Court, attorneys for the driver, Joshua Cooley, argued that loophole shouldn't be his problem. Attorney Eric Henkel said non-natives shouldn't be subject to Crow tribal government authority or policing.
If Mr. Cooley's civil rights are violated here, there's nothing he can do because of tribal sovereign immunity and this all occurring outside the structure of the Constitution.
If the court upholds the Ninth Circuit ruling, it will make it even more difficult for tribal officers across the country to police non-natives. But even if the court rules the other way, it doesn't mean tribal police will gain new authority. it would likely take an act of Congress to solve this problem. That's what Officer Lucero, the governor of Zia Pueblo, wants to see.
We don't have jurisdiction here on our reservation, but when us Native Americans get off the reservation, they have full jurisdiction over us. So what's the difference? Makes my heart sad to see that happening to us Native Americans.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule on this case sometime this month. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
Funding for the Mountain West News Bureau is provided in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.